What's up, everybody? I'm Johnny LaCroix. So you're listening to the As They Woe podcast. I listen to them all the time, not just because they're from Philly, but because they're worldwide.
There's no podcast without Mr. As They Woe.
And you know there's no podcast without yours truly, Weso. Call me anything but the father. I say they're here nor there, but what is here
is another spectacular, the 30th edition of the As They Woe podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And on the line right now, we have a man of various talents, a man that is so entrenched into this game that we call media and this field of work. Uh-huh. This man, I don't know if you know, but this man is a physical therapist, a comedian, a commentator on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, a host on AfterBuzz TV Monday Night Raw After Show, a co-host on Wrestling Compadre Slamcast, and you can go check his comedy album out right now. It's called, it's entitled Johnny LaCroix Presents Johnny LaCroix's Johnny LaCroix. You can follow this man at JQuasto. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Johnny LaCroix. What's going on, man?
It's impossible to say my album title without laughing, so good job.
Jeez, man, you're such a man of many talents.
Yeah, that
was a mouthful. But I want to start with Johnny. You're from, Johnny's from the Lehigh Valley, correct?
Yes, sir. I grew up in Northampton, Pennsylvania, and then went to college in Philly, University of the Sciences in Philadelphia, and got my my physical therapy degree.
Absolutely. And what made you go that route? Like, I want to go kind of chronological order. So what made you start in the physical therapy route?
Well, first and foremost, I was always obsessed with comedy as a kid, especially when In Living Color came out. It just hit me at the right time. And, you know, to this day, it'll be my favorite show of all time. Like, if it was, every time I've ever met someone from In Living Color, I always tell them, like, if it wasn't for that show, I wouldn't be doing comedy, you know. But
right.
You know, growing up in Pennsylvania, as you get a little bit older, you're like, well, I don't know, how do I do comedy? I had no idea. Like, you know, I was a fat kid, and so that's how I got a sense of humor.
Right.
But then at some point I was like, well, what am I going to do? And, you know, I played sports and I like being around people, and my mom and dad are both nurses, and, you know, they were both like, why don't you consider physical therapy? So I volunteered in high school, and you know, why not? I'll give it a shot. And that's kind of, it wasn't anything that I thought I was destined to do, to be honest. Like, when I was a little kid,
right,
my first dream, I remember when I was 6 years old, I'd run around telling people I was going to be a sports commentator, not even really knowing what that was.
Right.
And, you know, now I'm doing play-by-play.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, and then my next thing was like, well, I want to do comedy somehow. And so I took a circuitous route. Or as I call it, the Pennsylvania route, because, I mean, it's kind of hard to, like, growing up in a, you know, blue-collar Pennsylvania, you don't really have a lot of options as far as, like, the arts, you know what I mean? You
right.
really don't, like, you don't even have that mindset of, like, well, I'm gonna leave as soon as possible, and I'm gonna dream. Like, some people do, but I didn't necessarily have that mindset, and so it took me a while to realize, like, oh, wait, I only live once. I should probably, like, at least give this stuff a try.
Right.
But luckily, I love physical therapy. It's great when, you know, I can help my friends with their injuries and they don't have to worry about paying for it. And, you know, it's nice having an option to make money when I need it. And obviously, people look at you with a lot of appreciation when you can help them out. So that's kind of neat.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you remember, well, I'm going to set it up because, ladies and gentlemen, me and Johnny is kind of like my big bro in a sense. We've actually met in person. This is a guy who came out of his way to, you know, come out to a Dunkin' Donuts.
Come on.
Right, a Dunkin' Donuts. And, you know, we had a little talk. But I don't know if you remember, Johnny, I was telling you I have back pains even then. And that was about like two, three years ago. And right now I'm actually out of commission right now. I've been out of work for about like 5 months with a lower back herniated disc in my back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. I've been I have a bulging disc in my L4 L5 area, so, you know, I've gotten all the epidural shots and things like that.
So is that your way of asking Johnny for a massage, Aaron?
No.
Oh. I was about to say, where are you going with this?
At least, because, I mean, for a disc herniation, you should be able to go to PT for it.
I haven't been to PT yet. I just got the epidural a couple weeks a week ago. So, you know, still in that stage of you know, letting that soak in, and I'm about to go get actually acupuncture. So.
Okay. Well, you got to take care of that, dude. 5 months is a long time to be out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But getting back to you, so you say you went to Philly U. You know, you got into comedy, being a physical therapist, but what made you go to the West Coast?
To be honest, it was time to leave Pennsylvania, really. You know, by the time I hit my third year in college, I realized I didn't want to stay in Pennsylvania. Like, I liked Philly, but, you know, I had a different mindset than a lot of people I grew up with. I don't really think there's a need to stay in one place your whole life, and my brother was already in grad school in Santa Barbara at the time. He enjoyed it, and so I was actually, I wrote a feature film script like my third or fourth year in school, and I was like, I'm going to move to California, and I'm going to sell the movie. And right. That was initially my thought. But then by the time I graduated, I was like, yeah, you know what? I need to get out there, because I didn't even know if I was necessarily going to do comedy. I knew Pennsylvania wasn't for me anymore. It was just too conservative. I had no interest in settling down and getting married and starting a family. I mean, here I am 12 years later. I still don't know if I want to do that.
Right.
Now,
you know certain things about yourself, and that was one thing I definitely knew. I was like, I need to leave. You know, and I love going back to visit. I mean, I'm the biggest Sixers fan in Los Angeles. but, you know, it was time to go.
Now, Johnny, I know you said that you had some type of contribution to a film. I was reading an article that was written about you a few years ago. I don't know if it's about the same film that you're talking about, but it was saying that you were gonna write some type of film. Are we talking about the same one? There was an article that was about you a few years ago.
I'm not sure what it was. I mean, I made my own half-hour short film that is. I still have to turn it into a web series, actually. I haven't had a chance to do that yet, but...
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Possibly what it is, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. So, like, just like how we've been saying, we did a lot of research on you. Some were accurate. Some were, like, the TED Talk was a little bit of a flop. But I saw one of your skits that you were doing, and you were speaking about the hip-hop industry and how a lot of the music that you hear on the radio sounds like a broken record. And I wanted to see exactly what you thought of the current state of hip hop now, and how do you feel about it?
Well, there's actually I have two tracks on the album dedicated to making fun of mumble rap. So the album it's not just fan of comedy. It's got 5 songs, a bunch of commercials, some of which are parodies. It's got a movie trailer and an infomercial, and it's got an intro and an outro. It's got like a whole through line all the way through.
Right.
Honestly, it's like I'm so proud of it. Like, it's 5+ months of work in the studio on top of recording the stand-up at the Improv in Brea, California, and, you know, working with my producer, who's, like, incredibly talented, Rick Rivera, his name is. We put it all together and couldn't be happier about how it came out. But, you know, I love music, and I especially love hip-hop, and what's happened to rap in the last couple of years is really hard to swallow. You look at some of the artists that are selling, and it's hard to even understand why, other than the fact that I don't know if people just don't want thought-provoking music anymore.
Right.
How artists like the Migos and Future are selling when you can't understand a word they're saying is beyond me. And I said, well, I mean, I'll knock them down a peg. And so,
right.
Well, I mean, you know, there's subgenres within hip hop, and I feel like that's the disconnect between a lot of the viewers that have been used to the one genre of just, you know, substance within the lyrics and the content of the music, which is amazing. But I can see where the disconnect is when it comes to you not really being too fond of the new era. But you do know there's like a subgenre, right?
Oh, no, of course. I'm not saying that's the only thing in hip-hop, of course. Mm-hmm. There's still amazing artists out there.
Yeah.
But for me as a comic, I'm going to rail on the things that I think are garbage. And, you know, I think artists like the Migos are flat-out garbage. I mean, if you listen, it's just, there's nothing... It is. There's no substance to it at all. Garbage music, and I'm not afraid... I'm with Joe Budden. I stand with Joe Budden on everything.
Oh, man.
I love how angry he gets. I love the fact that he walked out on the Migos. I tried listening to Future's album. It sounded like he didn't even finish it. it's just, it's really bad. And as a comic, it's my job to voice that. And so we created a track called the Mumble Rapper Song that, in my opinion, explains what mumble rap is. And I think it came out really funny. It's just another thing to the album that I think is really different than what you'll hear from most comics.
And what do you think about an artist who is, you know, old school mentality of actually getting to you know, bars and actually spitting something of substance, and Kendrick Lamar?
Oh, he's amazing.
But we're not even here to speak about Kendrick, J. Cole, and none of these rappers. Aaron, let's get right into it, man. You know what album we want to speak about right now. Do I got to do the drum roll? You know which album we want to speak about.
Are we talking about Johnny LaQuasto Presents Johnny LaQuasto, Johnny LaQuasto?
Yes.
So, Johnny, is the album out right now?
Yes, it officially dropped at midnight, and so it's available. The funny thing about it is there was a mistake made, and it was released under the rap and hip-hop category and not comedy, and so I've been on the phone trying to get that rectified as soon as possible. But
right.
What's crazy is it actually started off at number 31 on the rap charts, which is actually pretty good. I was like 7 behind Tupac's Greatest Hits. I was like, you know, like, it's really weird. But it's, you know, it's nice to know it's selling well. But yeah, at the same time, I got to get it over on comedy. But but yeah, it's out there, you know. And it's, like I said, it's the coolest thing I've ever made in 12 years of stand-up. I'm really proud of it. And I really think anyone who gets it would enjoy it. And to be honest, it's actually, it's not even dirty. It's like PG-13. There's like, you know, only one F-bomb in the whole entire album, and it was a lot of work, but man, I'm really happy with it, and I think most people will be as well.
And how many tracks is it? It was like 30 tracks or something like that, right, Johnny?
39 tracks.
39? Golly.
Yeah, it's 71 minutes, so the tracks aren't very long.
Oh.
I wanted to keep the notes relatively short because, you know, for satellite radio, you get more airplay if the tracks aren't very long, you know, so.
Right, absolutely.
I think the longest track on the album is like 4 minutes.
Okay. So is there a particular station that the people in the car should stay tuned into to hear one of Johnny's tracks from the album playing?
I mean, it's available literally everywhere now. You could find it, like, if you go to QuastoAlbum.com, you can order on iTunes and Amazon, but it's going to be everywhere. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Music, Google Play. Tidal, I think it'll be on Tidal as well. So, it's out there.
Absolutely.
Now, for the people that are prior to them even listening, what should they expect? Should they expect 100% straight comedy, or will you be tapping into any type of social conscious issues that are going on currently in this world?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the commercials deal with that. I have a medication commercial. I have a fast food commercial. I have a car commercial, and those are all very, you know, society commentary kind of commercials where they kind of just parody what's really going on, you know, with all those genres. I actually have a song about depression that came out, I think, really good. That it's not even a funny song. It's just I was having a weird couple of days, and I wrote it, and my producer loved it. We created a track that is pretty incredible. We sent it to this guy in Italy who's like a guitar, you know, expert, and he added some guitar to it. And so I've had a couple people already listen to it and say that it's actually really picked up their day, and they're going to listen to it if they're ever having, you know, a bad day. And
right.
So it really covers a lot of things. As far as the stand-up, you know, it's a lot of personal stuff, but it's, like I said, I'm very liberal when it comes to people, you know, like I love everybody, and I don't see why there should be discrimination against anyone, and so that's kind of the stance I take on stage. So,
I like that.
You know, you're...
I like that. Now, Johnny, sorry.
Uber might disagree with some of the stuff I say on stage, but that's fine. That's the beautiful thing about comedy, is we don't have to agree.
Right.
Jokes are good, jokes are good.
Mm-hmm. And I know you got on to... You gave the Mumble Rappers a hard time with this one on the album. Now, I really hope, prior to me listening to this, that you gave Bobby Valentino a hard time on this album at some point.
I don't even know who that is. Like I said, I love hip-hop music, and I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s in rap's heyday, you know, so it's hard to not to be the back of my day guy, but it's hard to listen to this. And I understand there's new stuff all the time, but, I mean, come on. If you can't understand what people are saying, and they're mumbling like when a six-year-old can write your lyrics, it's not good.
Right.
Oh, man.
So
it's clear to me that you enjoy mumble rap, and that's fine.
Absolutely.
Just know that it's garbage. That's all you have to know.
Yeah, I know. Like I completely agree with you, Johnny. I think it's so bad that I like it.
Do you think that makes sense? Because I argue with him a couple times a week about this.
I don't know. I really can't figure out. Maybe if you're drunk at a club and.
And you know what? That's most of the time the setting that people will listen to that type of music, because you're not going to sit down and like listen like when it's time to really get down and dirty and like just chill out. You're not going to listen to that type of music. So like it all comes with it.
Is, I was talking with my producer about it. You know, I was playing a couple songs for him when I said this is the genre that I want. Listening, he's like, dude, even the tracks are so basic. Like who. This production isn't even good, let alone how bad the lyrics. Like everything about this is so subpar, and it made him upset. He's like, I can't believe people are accepting this kind of quality. And so the track he made is actually a way better track than you would even hear on a mumble rap song. you know, hey, it is what it is.
So I want to make a transition into a little pro wrestling. So, what was your first memory of wrestling?
Oh, man. I went with my neighbor, who was my best friend. I was, I was really young. And we went to the Allentown Fairgrounds to see a WWF house show. And the main event was Junkyard Dog and Outlaw Ron Bass.
So this was what? Around?
Like mid-80s.
80s. Okay. So, and it obviously stuck with you because you're actually in wrestling right now. You have a wrestling podcast. You do a wrestling after show. So how'd you get started with AfterBuzz and doing the Monday Night Raw after show?
I got asked to do it, actually, when a buddy of mine got signed to work for WWE behind the scenes. They had basically had asked me to come in. And that's pretty much it. I've been doing it now for almost 4 years. As often as I can when my schedule allows it, that kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. We got a nice dedicated listenership and viewership. So, and then Compadres came out of that, and we've been doing that for over 3 years.
And so, you know, I don't know what Sam knows, but me and... that's where I actually got to, you know Johnny from. I watched Monday Night Raw. Yeah, I watched the Monday Night Raw after show on AfterBuzz TV. And back then, this was about like four or five years ago. And, it was him, Kathy Kelly, which you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Arviso,
and Dale Rutledge. I want to speak on just those two people for a quick second. Quick with Kathy, obviously she's in WWE right now, and we've seen her, you know, her progression within wrestling. How do you feel about her getting those opportunities and her state where she's at right now?
I mean, she's really talented, you know, and you never know when opportunities are going to come across, and when they do, you got to definitely capitalize them. And that's what she's done, you know. We hosted the show together for a good 2.5 years, I think it was, maybe. And it's one of those things where her and I were both in the same struggle. Like, we both knew, you know, when you hustle long enough, you start to know how good you are at certain things. Her and I both knew that we were good at what we did and that something would eventually happen for us. Like, eventually we would get some kind of break, you know.
Right.
And for her at the time, you know, the timing just worked out perfectly. They needed someone. In the last year, they've hired a bunch of women. You know, things are cyclical in every genre, and they hired they were looking for different types of people. And so she was perfect for what she's doing, and she's killing it, and very proud of her, you know. And I knew. I would tell her all the time, like, something's going to happen. Like, we would just kind of keep each other, you know, motivated a little bit. And I knew it was only a matter of time to where if she got hired by them, it would be great.
Right.
Or if something else happened, you know. And obviously, she's been there over a year now, you know. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So, very happy for her, and she's doing great.
And obviously, Dale was there, too, and you guys started a podcast together. And, you know, he moved away for a quick second to D.C., and, you know, looks like he's frequently back in L.A. So what has that been like getting Dale back together?
Well, he's actually been gone for 2 years already.
That long, geez.
Man.
Yep. I mean, it's difficult for sure. But now he's going to be in town a lot more often, which is good.
Right.
But we've kind of decided that when he's not in town, he's just not going to be on, because it makes it a lot more difficult to do the whole Skype thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, he gets to travel, and he does tons of interviews for the show, which is cool. It's like, it's been a really great partnership, and he's been, my best friend through the whole thing. And after we met, you know, we actually met on AfterBuzz. It's weird. Actually, I think Kathy's the reason we met. She asked me to come in to guest co-host.
Mm-hmm.
She forgot that she asked me, and she had forgotten she already asked Dale to come in. So it was kind of an accident that we met.
Wow.
It was something like that. So we just hit it off, you know.
And right,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, and then we just, you know, became buddies, and one opportunity led to the next, here we are. We're still trying to make it work.
That's
now,
awesome.
I have a couple more questions before we move on to another topic.
I got a good question, Johnny. So, you being the motivated hard worker that you are, I know you say early in your life that you were actually overweight. What motivated you to get that weight off of you? Because you look great now.
Thanks, dude. I think it was one of those things where it's like you get tired of feeling, you know, like everyone's staring at you for the wrong reasons, I guess. And I don't know what it was specifically that why I was so big, but I was. It was probably a number of things. And then once I realized I wanted to be a physical therapist, well, then, geez. I mean, the last thing I wanted to be was an overweight physical therapist.
Right.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, right, right.
And so, yeah, I just got really into, you know, fitness and everything and trying to eat right. And, you know, because when you become a physical therapist, especially when you work in a hospital setting like I did, you see what people do to themselves. And, you know, aging is difficult enough to begin with, let alone when you damage yourself.
Right, right.
And so, you know, I just, now I try to, I just know, I know it works for me. I feel better when I'm living healthy, you know? And and I think most people would. It's just difficult to do, I think, for some people.
Did you choose the vegan route, or did you just eat healthy? Excuse me?
What'd you say?
Did you choose, like, doing the whole vegan route?
No. I mean, I'll eat vegan food if it's in front of me, but I don't necessarily seek it out or anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just try to, you know, obviously portion control. I'm a gym fiend just because psychologically, if I don't go to the gym, I don't feel as good. And I just try to, you know, there's certain things I don't like. Like, I've never even liked red meat, so it's really easy for me to not eat it.
Right.
You know, and I just try to avoid a lot of fried stuff and not go overboard on desserts, you know.
And I heard while you're in the gym, you listen to a certain song, and this song would be... Is that correct?
Oh, of course. Yeah, it knocked me off the treadmill.
Just to get back quick to the podcast, you guys were formerly on Fox Sports, and now you're on another platform. What is that platform like for you to have an actual visual now? I know, you know, in the beginning stages of the podcast, you had, you know, you were doing visuals, but what's it like getting back to that?
it's pretty fun. It's an amazing studio at stream.tv. They have, gosh, I lost count of how many cameras. They have a roaming jib. The lighting is incredible.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just a lot more. We could do a lot more, you know.
Right.
Fox Sports, it was great being there for a year, but they've had a lot of issues and a lot of changes. And one of the changes was, you know, they got rid of pro wrestling, which to me makes no logical sense. But, you know, not every corporation makes logical decisions. So,
right.
But, you know, the stream, they've been very welcoming, and they're happy to have us. And, you know, it's still a transition. We're working things out. But yeah, I mean, it's been really cool to have such great quality, you know, cameras and just a really cool operation. It allows you a lot of creative freedom. We essentially do whatever we want, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Now, me and Wissam have a topic question that we asked a couple people, and we wanted to ask you the topic question. Obviously, you said in the beginning of the interview that you're single, you're still single, and you're trying to figure out, you know, if you want a kid or not, or a wife, or, you know, what have you. The question was, are you comfortable dating outside of your type or preference?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There's actually a joke on my album about that.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of the, I forget what track it is, but I think it's a track called Prejudice, where I just, you know, I explain about how I don't understand how anyone could possibly be prejudiced, and it goes into the fact that I've never seen an unattractive mixed race person, you know, and that's kind of, I don't want to give away the joke, but that's kind of like the premise of it. But no, I absolutely.
With data
out of my
race,
of course.
Right.
Interesting.
I know you have somebody who gave you an answer.
Yeah, I actually have two. I'll make it real quick. So the first one, shout out to Faya. She is from England, and she had to say about the topic. She said, I don't really have a type or preference. I'm more of a, if you're attracted to that person, then you're attracted regardless of height, weight, gender, etc. I wouldn't enclose myself to one kind of person and always have that type. It's what it would be like eating Domino's every time you go out for food, but always staring at the Thai bar across the road, wondering what it's like. That's the first one. So the second one right here is, her name is Bailey. And she wanted me to make sure, well, she kind of like hinted she wanted me to make sure I say on Insta, on the podcast, that she has a nice booty. She does a lot of workouts, so her thing is Bailey booties. But so what she said on DMs, her opinion.
Slide.
So her opinion about the topic at hand was, she said, I'm a very open person. Whatever happens, happens. I may be, quote unquote, looking for my specific type or preference, but I would never be opposed if I met someone out of that, quote unquote, visual I have in mind. If you stick to the same visual, then how do you know that's your true preference? Almost as if food, here's another food one, as if foods. You can say pasta is your favorite food, but how do you know a pasta is the only food you've tried?
Right.
So, yeah, shout out to Bailey Booties.
Absolutely. And I got one from Vex. She works at 96.5 Amp Radio for Philly. She said totally she dated a guy who was actually in her realm of, you know, her quote-unquote type and everything like that. But it didn't work out. And she said sometimes you need to switch it up a little bit and, you know, actually explore and go out and see. Because as you're growing older, it, you know, your types change. So, and I actually absolutely agree with that. So, Johnny, so the album's out now. What's next for you?
Well, after hearing all that, I want to date an ethnic girl for sure.
Let's go.
Yeah, that'll be on the agenda, right?
No, I talk about it all the time. I honestly, and I agree with everything those women said. I don't have a type at all. Like, I've found myself attracted to every type of woman there is. Like, it, you know, I'll be honest, I tend to be more attracted to non-Caucasian women. That's, I don't know. That's just my thing, I guess.
Right.
Maybe it's the Italian in me. I don't know. but yeah, I mean, I think variety is the spice of life, and it's all about really if you're actually going to date someone, it's most important about, you know, can you not only coexist, but can you guys get along? Like, if I hang out with a girl who legitimately, like, makes me laugh, that is the best. Because it's, yeah, being a comic, like, after 12 years, I've heard everything at this point.
Right.
And so if I'm dating someone who, like, can really get one on me and you know, top something that I said, and I'm like, damn, okay, this is cool. Like, that's the main thing for me.
Yeah, that'd be
absolutely
awesome.
Man. So as far as career-wise, you know, you put out the album. You're still working for Championship Wrestling of Hollywood. Still working for AfterBuzz. You're still working on the Wrestling Compadres Slamcast. So what's really next for you, man? You know, you're doing a lot. You put out the comedy album. What's next for you?
I mean, that's the thing. None of us know. All you can do is just keep putting your stamp on everything that you do. I mean, you know, I don't really do anything half-assed, as you can tell by this album.
Absolutely.
Honestly, like, I put everything I had in this album, a lot of money, a lot of time, and it is just, it's the coolest thing I've ever created, and, you know, I don't know what'll happen with the album. I hope it does well. I really hope people enjoy it. As far as my work goes, I'm just going to keep doing what I do and try to get as good as I possibly can be. I mean, if a commentary opportunity pops up, I would certainly take it. You know, if the right hosting opportunity pops up, I would do that. Same thing with comedy, acting, the whole deal. It's, you know, you just got to be prepared for when you get that opportunity. You know, like we mentioned earlier with Kathy, she was prepared.
Right.
You know, her and I worked our asses off, and she worked hard enough to where when that opportunity came, she was ready, and she jumped right in. And that's what you have to do. You can't just sit around and wait for an opportunity and then not be ready. When that opportunity comes, you might not get a second one. You better be ready for it. And so she certainly was, and that's why she's still there. And so that's
and thriving too. She's thriving in that role.
Yeah, and that thing is, like, I'm making sure I'm ready for whatever comes across.
Absolutely, man. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck. And everybody should go get his album. It's going to be hilarious. You go to get wisdom. You go get a bellyache from laughing. This man's a genuinely good guy, and I'm proud to call this man a brother of mine. So, say it again.
I said, definitely, man. I love following what you're doing, too. I remember a couple of years ago when we met, you know, you had aspirations of doing a show, and here you are.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Where can people find you on social media, man?
Let's see, at Jay Quasto on Instagram, Twitter, JQUASTO. If you want to pick up my album, it's at QuastoAlbum.com. That's QUASTOAlbum.com, as well as JLoComedy.com.
And Wisa, where can they find you on all social media?
They can find me on all social media at Wissam Tomy. For those who do not know how to spell Wissam, it is W-I-S-S-A-M. If you can't spell Tomy, I can't help you with that. Aaron?
And you can find me on all social media, ladies and gentlemen, at A Snyder A1. Once again, that's A Snyder A1. You can find this podcast.
No, hold on. With the Snapchat.
I don't know if you know Johnny, but I'm kind of like the guru on Snapchat. My Snapchat is what these kids caught lit today.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, man. Which they can follow me on Snapchat at @A_Snyder18. Mm-hmm. And you can follow this podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, all that great stuff. Make sure you rate, comment, subscribe. And Wiso, you have a very important question, correct?
Yeah, well, what rankings are we climbing up on?
We're climbing up on culture and society. So society and culture.
It's culture.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's the As They Will podcast. Make sure you, like, again, you rate, comment, subscribe, and keep those reviews coming. If you have any questions, send them to asitwillpodcast@gmail.com. And Johnny, we can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast, man. It's been a blast.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate it, Johnny.
Anytime, man.
All right, it's the As They Will podcast, ladies and gentlemen, episode number 30. We are